We're continuing our study of the great Feast of Tabernacles called Sukkoth in the Hebrew language. And for context, let's come back to Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 42 says, "You will dwell in these booths for 7 days so that your generations," verse 43, "would know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." We began last Sunday to speak about the great Feast of the Tabernacles, and it's also called the Feast of Booths. They were to cut down the branches of four specific different types of trees. One of them was the palm tree, and I want you to write this down, and this has a special significance later on as this was part of their festival. But during this holiday, for 7 years, they lived in these temporary booths, these tents, if you want to call it, and that reminded Israel of the graciousness and of the goodness of God for 40 years in the wilderness. From a historical perspective, God provided for Israel. He led them with the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire by night. He surrounded them and protected them with this from their enemies. And this reminds us today of Christians, that God leads us. God is our light. All of the incidents that we read in the Old Testament where God led Israel through the desert, every single time they came to a place, for example, when they were thirsty, it wasn't because they ended up in the wrong place at the wrong time, but because God led them to that place to demonstrate his power to them and to demonstrate his goodness and graciousness to them in giving them their daily bread, their water that they needed every day. And so in addition to the water that we talked about, the light that led them that we talked about last time, we began to talk about the water that God provided for Israel. Remember the first example when they needed water was literally 3 days after they left Egypt. They probably filled their jugs of skins or their thermoses if they had them or whatever they had with some water. And after 3 days in the desert, they're out of water. What do? They come to the water, and when they taste the water is bitter. Who made the water bitter? I believe God made the water bitter to teach them a lesson of depending on them. There was nothing magical about the tree that Moses cut down and threw into the water. What was miraculous was God prepared that tree in the middle of the desert and led Moses to him and told him to cut it down and throw it in the water, and the water instantly became sweet. That is a miracle that only God can do in our life, a life full of sin and bitterness, of living in this world. And God can transform our life when we taste the sweetness of the water that the tree of Calvary produces in our life. The second example we stopped on last time was when they came to a place called Rephidim, and there they found a number of wells, and they found some palm trees. And we ended on this note last Sunday. In our life, in our Christian life, we go through the bitterness of sin, and we come to salvation where we experience the cross of Calvary. And we begin to drink the sweet water. Jesus said, "He who thirsts, come and drink, and you will never thirst again." And in our life, we will come to oasis in the desert that God leads us through in our life. Sometimes there will be troublesome times. Sometimes there'll be good times in our life. But at all times, the believer needs to know that God is leading you. And secondly, that God will provide for you the nourishment you need. There are times in our life that God knows that he needs to bring us to a place of rest where we can come and simply enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. We do that every week on Sunday when we come here. We can come and we can rest in a certain sense, even though we come here to work, to worship the Lord, to think with our mind as we study the Word of God. But in it, we get nourishment from the Lord. And this is the oasis in the middle of the desert here. But basically, 40 years go by in the desert. And God, day by day, is leading Israel to the promised land. Now, between you and me, if we left Egypt and we walked to Palestine, to Jerusalem, it would not take 40 years. You can get there in 3 or 4 days walking, and in our day, you can drive there very shortly, and you can fly there in an hour. There are a lot of reasons why Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But I want you to remember that God was leading them every day. Part of the leadership was God was punishing those that had rebelled against God. And we need to know in our life that if we rebel against the standards of God's word, God will discipline us as his loving children, as a loving God, as a father loves his children and disciplines them. That's one thing. But the second thing is that God was preparing them. God was building a nation. God was making them into one. There were 12 separate tribes, each one going in their own direction. They had no laws. They had no understanding of what it meant to worship God. And you notice when you read Exodus, when they first exit Egypt, what is the first place where God brings them? He brings them to Sinai. He brings them to a place of worship. He brings them to a place where he institutes his law. He brings them to a place where he makes a covenant with them. And he says, you will be my people and I will be your God. You will be a light to the nations around you. You will take the law that I give you and you will write it on your heart and on your forehead and you will carry it in your heart and you will teach your children. And when you wake up, you will remember my law. And when you walk out the gate of your house in the morning, it will be there on your door. And when you walk out, you will remember it. And when you come back home, on your gate, coming home, inwardly, the word will be written on your gate. And you will remember that every place where you walked during the day, God guided you and led you. You are my people, my holy people. You will be holy because I am holy. You will be different. You will be a light to the nations and you will influence their life. So the first thing God leads his people is to a covenant with him. But for 40 years, he's teaching them. He's making them his people. He's making them a holy people. And you would think that after 40 years, they would learn a lesson, would they not? Some of us learn quicker. Some of us learn easier. But all of us, Peter says, need reminding. And Peter says, I will be a faithful and a good minister, and I will remind you every time I have an opportunity. I will remind you. And God again brings Israel to a place where they have to depend on him. And not only Israel, but the leadership of Israel in the form of Moses. At one point in the middle of the desert, they were thirsty. And God leads them to a rock. They're thirsty in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the sand, and God brings them to a rock. And you say, what's so miraculous about a rock? There was nothing miraculous about that rock. It was a dry rock. If there was water there, I think our eyes would have seen it. And they come there and there's nothing there. And God says to Moses, take your staff. Do you remember that staff? That's a staff that went into the presence of Pharaoh. And God demonstrated his power over the staff of all of the magicians there. Remember, he throws down his staff and it becomes a snake. And the magicians do the same thing. But whose staff ate the other staffs? This is the same staff that later on during the wilderness desert, Aaron's staff, his brother, Moses' brother, had a staff too. He had a stick. It was a dried out stick that had no life in it. And people murmur and complain, and God does a miracle. Overnight, when Aaron puts his staff in the presence of the Lord, when they come there in the morning, that staff not only blossomed, but it brought forth fruit overnight. I don't know about you, but I would like to have a staff like that. You put it in the middle of my yard and get up in the morning and have fruit there. But God brings Moses to this rock, this dry rock in the middle of the desert, and brings Israel, and they're standing there, and they're thirsty, and they're murmuring, and they're complaining, and they're ready to kill Moses. And God tells Moses, take your rod and hit the rock. And when he did that, water came out, and they drank, and they were nourished. And this is a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me. God brought us there in our thirstiness for him. And God struck the rock that was Jesus Christ. He struck the shepherd, Isaiah tells us. And from him, the result of the crucifixion is the redemption that we got. And the fourth case, we come At the very end of the 40 years, they come to another place. And they're thirsty again. You say, well, how many times does God have to teach them to depend on him? Well, see, God teaches Moses this time. They come to a dry place. They come to a dry rock. God tells Moses, Moses, I will show my power through you to the people. This time, walk up to the rock and talk to the rock. You see, God leads the church, not just everybody that's sitting down in the pews, but he leads us leadership too. He teaches us to trust him for our nourishment and water and manna every day. Moses disobeys God. He takes his staff and he hits the rock. And if you or I were God, we probably would not make water come out of the dry rock. But God does a miracle and water comes out of the rock. And later on, God calls Moses to a little interview and he says, you know, you did not honor my holy name. But God provided water for many, many, many years for Israel until they finally crossed the Jordan and came into the promised land. And there they found rest from their journey of 40 years. And this Feast of Tabernacles, in one respect, just the respect of water, is a continuous year-by-year reminder to Israel, even today, of the graciousness of God, not only during the 40 years in the wilderness, but even today. Day by day, he provides not only physical water for us to drink, but spiritual water from his word. Amen.